Oh, it's just a complete privilege to share something from God with you guys this morning. And I know I can relax because you're family, right? Okay, fine. So Steve was talking, wanted us to talk about encouragement this morning. And I really feel in my heart that God has actually put this at the right time for us as a church, that God wants us to be strong and full of courage and full of faith right now at the season that we're in as a church, that we need to be full of God and full of faith and encouragement. And it made me laugh this morning because I just thought, oh my goodness, I've turned into my mother. You'll see why. Or maybe some of you know my mum. And this is the sort of thing that she would do. Oops, hold on a minute. Oh, here we go. So this is our church. And you might recognize some of the faces. Possibly I've modeled them on you. So if you recognize yourself here, anyone? Any takers? This one? Malcolm, anybody? No? Okay. This is the church, and, you know, we're bouncing for Jesus, full of faith, full of God, and full of the Holy Spirit, and we're people that are Spirit-led, courageous men and women of God. And sometimes, I actually need some help here, because I forgot I had to hold this as well. Thanks, Danilia. Could you just, there's this lovely girl here. Could you hold that? Could you hold the other one? There we go. That's it. Sometimes, you know, I need another helper. Okay. Sarah, thanks. Sometimes, can you just stand the other side? And you're going to be the pressure of life. So, you need to squeeze that one, yeah. Sometimes what happens is we're going along fine, aren't we? We're full of God, and a pressure comes, or, you know, we have a newborn baby. Can you just squeeze it a bit? Something happens, we end up looking after an elderly parent, a bit more pressure. Thank you. And then sometimes, you know, just we get so busy. We just get busy, 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 and there's pressure on us. And we get a little bit deflated in the things of God, and we start shrinking in our life and our vitality, you know. And it's easy to get like that. You know, squeeze it a bit more. Okay, actually end up feeling just like that. Thanks, ladies. You're done. I'm going to hang on to this. We can just feel a bit like this sometimes. And not necessarily because stuff that we've done. Sometimes it is the consequences of what we, you know, what's happened in our lives. And sometimes it's not. It's just pressure of life. And, you know, God wants to breathe his life, his breath into us. And we forget sometimes that we're in a battle. And as a church, we are in a spiritual battle, and God wants and needs us to be fully full of him all the time. And it's not possible all the time, but when we feel like this, there's things that we can do to encourage ourselves. So I want to talk about a couple of things this morning, how to encourage yourself, and then I'm going to look at how to be an encourager. Is that okay? Are you with me? Good. Well, when I was looking at studying this about being encouraging yourself, because actually that's the first thing that we have to do is encourage ourselves. We can't always look to other people around, and sometimes people are just not around, or they're, you know, it's amazing how the enemy pulls away people just when you're having your hardest time. You know, the enemy likes to just rob you of all those people. Your best friend moves away, or, you know, different things happen. And the people that normally would have been there to encourage you have disappeared, and you're there. And that's the time when you need to encourage yourself. It just reminded me of a bit in the Bible about David where it said he encouraged himself. And so I started to have a look at that. And I wonder if we could first read a little bit of that. It's Samuel. It's 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 to 7. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, and now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but they carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. That's where that scripture came from, where it says he found strength, but it's actually the same as encourage. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So here we have David. Now we know about David, don't we? Because he, as a young boy, he was full of courage, and he fought bears and lions when he was looking after the sheep, his father's sheep. And so we know he was a man full of courage. And then he fought Goliath as well, didn't he? And then a bit later, he was chosen out of all of Jesse's sons to be king, and he was anointed by God. But here he is a bit later on. Saul has chased him out of the country, and so he goes and joins the Philistines for a bit, and then they also get fed up of him. And King Achish thinks that David is great, but none of the princes like David. So basically he gets thrown out. And there he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. Then he comes to Ziklag, and he finds that the Amalekites have completely burnt down the village or the city where his wife and his children are. And it's just devastation all around him. And he's probably at a pretty low point, I would have said. But, you know, there's something about when there's something that's damaging to our families, or where our families are in need, or our husbands, or our wives, or, you know, something hard hits us. And when it really affects us, doesn't it? And David was feeling pretty low. And then not on top of that, all the friends that he's been with the whole time, that have been in all those different places and encouraged him, suddenly they decide they want to stone him. That's nice, isn't it? And they talk about stoning him, and it's at that point that David says, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And that takes some real strength, doesn't it, to say that. It's easier to run, to hide. But I don't know what you think it looks like when he did that. I was just imagining, okay, you know, I don't know if they had mirrors then, but if he had a mirror, he would have got his mirror. Let me just put the balloon down. He would have got the mirror and gone, come on, David. You can do this. Do you know what? It looks terrible, but it's not going to stay like that. It's not going to stay like that forever. And by my God, you know, and then I'm sure he must have looked in the mirror and said, do you know what, David? God has called you. He's chosen you. He's already anointed you to be king. You know, and he would just be reminding himself of those things that God has already spoken over him. And he encourages himself. He strengthens himself in his God. Not in his own strength, but in God's strength. In what God has said. And for us, you know, there's times like when we need to do that. And we need to kind of, come on, man up, you know. Yeah. I'll tell you a little story in a bit about that. and what else does he do? He gets the only living priest that is alive, because basically Saul had slaughtered all the priests previously, and there was one guy who had fled, and he'd gone with David, and he'd taken the ephod, which is the priestly garments, and he'd ran to be with David, and followed him. And so he thought, I'm going to strengthen myself in God. And what does he do? He says, I'm going to inquire of God. And the priest Abiathar, I think that's how you say it, but anyway, whatever. he gives him the ephod and he puts this priestly garment on. And it's this linen garment which the priests use when they come to God. And it's beautiful. It's scarlet and purple, and it's linen, and it's got embroidery on it, and jewels on the top, a little sash. And he puts on his priestly garments, and he inquires of God. And you know, I just see in that picture, that's us putting on Christ. That we clothe ourselves and we come in God's righteousness. We can't go and inquire after God in our own clothing, but we clothe ourselves with the priestly things that he's given us to wear. Because did you know we are a priesthood of believers? You might have heard of that, that we are all priests and kings to God. So we have a right to come to God ourselves, each one of us. We don't have to be special. We don't have to be a leader, or we can clothe ourselves with our priestly garments, and we can seek God and inquire of him. Does that make sense? That's just the picture that I get from that. And actually what happens is, I'm sure you know the story. There's a turning point right there for David. Saul actually is in a war with the Philistines, and he's not winning. And basically, he falls on his sword. He does the manly thing, and I'm not going to let them dishonor me. And my son would like that. and basically, from there on, there's a massive change, and it opens a doorway for David to become the king of Judah. Literally, at the next chapter, he comes and he rises up. So from a place of complete devastation, what I've missed out is that David, God says, yes, go and get your wives, go and get your children, I'm with you. And off he goes, and he goes and rescues the whole of the people that have been taken away. And he gets his wives and his family back and spoils. So everyone's happy. Nobody wants to stone him anymore. And then literally in the next chapter, he becomes the king of Judah. So from complete disaster to now a place of reigning and ruling. And in that story, I just see a picture of when we get to that point sometimes where nothing seems to be working and things sometimes fall apart on us. We can use that as a springboard into what God has for us now, but we have to stop and we have to encourage ourselves and we have to take hope in God and gird ourselves up with strength and trust in God that he is going to fulfill his promises to us and not to give up hope. So I think somebody was saying the other day, everything is a test. And it kind of stuck with me. Sometimes we just think, oh, this is happening, that's happening, where do I go? But everything is a test. God wants to see if we're going to rise up strong. And as a church, God wants to see if we're going to let different disappointments and unanswered prayers stop us, or are we going to rise up and strengthen ourselves in God and be the people of God that he wants us to be. Because not one person can do it on their own. But you know what? You have one strong person, a few more strong people, and then you get a strong church, people full of God. And so individually, we need to strengthen ourselves in God. And there are a few things that... just lick the microphone. Gross. We just need... to keep ourselves in a place of encouragement. And then there's just a few things I want to talk about. And you know what? Sometimes we make things so complicated, don't we, in our Christian walk. We have to do this and that. And you know, sometimes it just needs to be the simple things. Do you know what? The Word of God is really powerful to keep us encouraged. Reading the Word regularly. It's really important that we get daily dose of the Word of God in our lives to keep us strong. It's not a religious duty. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I don't want to be all religious about it. You know, I'm free. I've got the Holy Spirit. But actually, do you know what? It's that regularity of meeting God and in the Word day by day by day that provides strength in us. And it's so important. And make it into a habit. Right? Hopefully you brush your teeth. And maybe you trained yourself to do that. And actually, do you know what? I have a chart in my house. And it's for my children because they're good at brushing their teeth at night, but they're not so good in the morning. And actually, Tunde, she's not here, so I won't embarrass her too much. She also confessed to me, I'm not great at brushing my teeth. So I put her on the chart as well. And at the end of the day, well, the kids get like 50p or something, and she gets her favorite chocolate. So, you know what, I just felt like, you know, that there's a habit that sometimes, even no matter how old we are, even if we haven't been doing it since we were a little kid, there's a habit that is healthy for us. And sometimes, as a simple thing, we need to create habit, and a habit of seeking God every day, a habit of being in His Word. And even if you just start with 10 minutes, do it, but do it regularly. And find a place, find a seat, find somewhere where you can just go and be with God. And when you mess up, because you do, and when you've missed a few days because you feel ill or whatever, doesn't matter, pick yourself up and work at creating that habit. And that habit will keep you strong. And I know loads of us are doing, you know, seeking God every day. But if you're not, it's going to provide strength in your life. It's going to provide strength. And then you'll make our church strong. And do you want a strong church? Do you want this church to be full and vibrant? I do. I want everyone to be like, you know, just full on fire for God. And we need strength amongst ourselves, and we need to be able to be in a place where we can encourage others, because we're already full. We're already full of God. And so that's good, isn't it? It says... Oh, yeah. Will Murray said something. He said something at the conference when we were in South Africa. And he said, it's easier to pray when you've been reading the Word. You know, one of those little cast-off comments that you kind of just pick up on. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. You know, sometimes we haven't been in the Word, and we sit down, we think, right, okay, I'm going to pray. And then we're like, oh, thank you, Lord, for the flowers and the trees and the... And there's kind of a shallowness, isn't there, sometimes? I don't know if you... Am I the only one that's experienced that before? When I've been in the Word regularly, that's different. There's a depth, you know, to my prayer. And I find it just easier to pray when I've been in the Word of God. And I've just been reading... If you don't know where to start, a good place to start is Psalms, and just start reading a psalm every morning to kick you off. And then just take one of the little verses. I've been doing that. I'm on about 117. I've been doing that for a little while now. And just taking one verse or even one word from that psalm and using it to pray and using it to meet with God. It's good. So reading the Word and praying. It says pray in the Spirit because it builds up your faith. Building up your scripture in Jude, I think it is. It says, build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in a spirit. Sorry, I didn't give that to you, Jason, to put up. You know, if we want to be strong, we need to hear God's word. And coming regularly to church and to home group, you're going to hear God's word, aren't you? This is not mind science, is it, guys? But somehow we forget. And I'm just reminding you, is that okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So whenever you give yourself an opportunity, you're going to build yourself up and get strong. The other thing is, we need to recognize that it's the enemy's strategy to isolate us. Did you know that? Everything comes against you sometimes to isolate you. Let's just get you away from there. You know, because... hit a hard time, then what happens first? Usually you stop reading the Bible as much as you did, and then you kind of drop off from meeting with other people, and you know, before you know it, you're just kind of drifting over here, miles away from everyone else, and you're away from the very people that probably would encourage you. And that is just number one enemy plan. And we need to recognize it, that that is a tool that the enemy loves to use, because then we're discouraged. And if we're discouraged, church, if we're discouraged, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to be effective for God. And so that is perfect enemy strategy. Isolate, discourage, blah. And so we need to work really hard to take thought, those thoughts captive. We need to work hard and recognize it, like when we think, oh, nobody's actually noticed if I'm over here. Or when, you know, you think, was it really worth coming this morning? I've just been running around after my toddler. Or, you know, different things happen to us that make us discouraged, don't they? And we have to take hold of those things. And we say, no, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to be removed. I'm not going to be isolated. I'm going to be strong in God. And I'm going to get with those people that are going to encourage me. The other thing is it says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And sometimes we can end up believing that he doesn't care, because we haven't seen those answers to prayer, or we haven't seen X, Y, and Z happen in our life. And we can think, well, that means he doesn't care. But he does care for us. And actually, we have to cast all of our cares upon him, because he does. He cares for us. Do you know that this morning, that he cares for you? He cares for you. He sees right into each and every situation. And he loves you passionately. It does. I love the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said in the fiery furnace, well, they were going to be thrown into the furnace, and they said, hear this, O king, you know, even if our God does not rescue us from this fiery furnace, know this, that we will not worship any other god. Full stop. Even if God doesn't rescue us from this terrible situation, or even if God doesn't provide that answer, know this, that we will not deny our God. And they had this faith, didn't they, that was so strong, and they actually really knew God. They knew God, and so they were not worried about what was happening. They were trusting in him. And we kind of need to just decide in our heart that the Lord is God. And we need to settle that in our hearts so that we don't have undivided, have we got it right? I don't know. Well, there's lots of other religions. Oh, I'm not sure. You know? Because sometimes we can feel like that, even if we've been Christians for ages. We can. But you know what? We need the word, because actually when we come back to the word, it shows us the Lord is God. And we see the picture of how he moved time and time again in the nation of Israel, and how he was the Lord God Almighty. And there is no other. There is no other. He's the Lord God Almighty. But this isn't too heavy. Let me tell you a story. This is a story to do with what I'm talking about. Just recently, we were in South Africa, which was beautiful, and we had one day to do all the sightseeing, go all that way for one day of sightseeing. But no, the conference was amazing, and it was worth going for the conference. But we thought, right, we'll really pack in what we can do sightseeing. So Brett, I think you heard him preach here. Brett decided he was going to take us on a whirlwind tour. Oops, oh no, he's really squashed now. Brett decided to take us up the Lion's Head, which is part of Table Mountain. I said, yeah, I want to walk up the mountain. I love mountains. I love the views. I just want to get up high. Take me up. And he's like, oh, well, it's a bit cloudy on Table Mountain. We'll go just at the Lion's Head. It's a bit easier anyway. And you'll be fine. Okay, so I didn't tell him that I was actually scared of heights and really scared of ladders. Weird, eh? We were walking up and it was quite a nice path going round the mountain, a bit gravelly. And then, you guys know this, right? There's a certain part that gets up the top, it gets really steep. And then, and Brett says, you know, people die here every year. And you're literally kind of climbing, putting your foot in a little hole and just finding the next, you know, it's a proper climb, proper climbing. I was like, oh my goodness. And it's a sheer drop down that side, Oh my goodness, okay. Pull yourself together. And so, there was this kind of ladder. And I really struggled getting up that ladder. And I had to take hold of my mind. And I was just saying to myself, don't look down. Don't look down. It's going to be fine. You'll be at the top really soon. And I got up there, and that was great, you know. It was an awesome, awesome view. It was so worth it. And I'm like, oh, I can see it. I've climbed to the top. It's amazing. And then coming down was even worse. I don't know why, but this just fear hit me. And it was the ladder bit. It's the ladders. I don't know why. Anyway, I'm on the ladder, and I'm like shaking and trembling. And Steve's looking at me like, I never knew you were scared of heights. I'm like, oh gosh, oh Lord. Okay, like, come on, don't look down, just hold on really tight and you'll be fine. And I managed to get myself down to the bottom of this ladder, but I just stood there holding onto the ladder. I can't move. I said, I'm really sorry. And these guys kind of like looking at me, they were waiting to climb up the ladder and they're just looking at me and I was just holding on. And it was a bit embarrassing. And then I composed myself. But you know, I said to Steve, Steve, I just need you not to just go off about 3 meters ahead. I need you right here with me. I need you just to kind of go behind me. And so then I can have courage to do this. And he did that. And it made such a difference to how I felt. I suddenly thought, oh, okay, Steve's here, my hero. And so he was just going down behind me, and then he started saying encouraging things, like, come on, you're doing really well, this is awesome. Because he didn't realize before that I was having such a struggle. He didn't know that about me. And I just see that as a picture of encouragement, you know, and what encouragement does. And sometimes we need people to just come a bit closer to us and just be there, really close, to give us the courage and faith that we need. And we need people to speak into our lives, you know. And I've been so blessed. I've got so many wonderful friends in my life when I've had a bit of a wobbly moment. Just recently, Sherry gave me a picture of, it was an amazing picture of this thing. And she even found a picture and sent it to me. And it just did me so much good to hear God's word to me, and I just felt encouraged and like strength. My hands were strengthened for the task, and I just so appreciate that. You know, when people prophesy, and like when we were in South Africa, it really encouraged us, didn't it? When somebody we didn't know at all came up, you were asked to turn to each other and prophesy. Somebody came up to Steve and just gave this most amazing prophetic word. I'd never met him, didn't know he was a pastor or a Christian or anything. Just turned to him and said, this is what's happening in your leadership. You're going to have some changes in the sort of eldership structure, and then you're going to have an explosion in the youth, and all these different things. Just went through it like that. Never met him in her life. So you just know it's from God. And that does something to your faith. You know, it says prophecy is for building up, isn't it? For strengthening. That's the work of prophecy. But also the scriptures do that, don't they? So, am I doing it? Ooh, okay. So, it's amazing. Have you ever known somebody who's believed in you? Somebody who frequently speaks words of encouragement and praise? Kind of person who made you feel like you could just do whatever it was. It's an amazing gift, isn't it, to have somebody like that. And that's the kind of person that God wants each one of us to be. Steve is amazing. It's my turn to embarrass Steve now. He always embarrasses me. It's my turn. Steve is just an amazing person to live with, because he builds me up. He strengthens me. He's much better than what you see up here. No! No, what I'm saying is, he's the real deal. He's what he is at home, even more so. He's even more so. And, yeah, I'm going to get you really back. he is my biggest fan. It's amazing. He very, very rarely says anything critical to me. He's always building me up, strengthening me. What a gift to me. And that's completely changed my personality. In fact, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you like this if I didn't have this man in my life. And God uses him. And just to give me courage and to give me faith. It's amazing. This is the word. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." This is a real key verse for encouragement. It's not easy to do, is it? Let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Because it's very easy to, if you're actually in control of what you're saying, you've got half the battle done. But actually, it's a hard thing, isn't it? But this is the scripture that tells us that we must speak what is building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And for that, we need to be full of God, don't we? So I'm finishing up here. Things that we can do to become an encourager. Firstly, we have to love God with our whole heart, because we can't possibly be an encourager if we're not loving God, full of God. Secondly, we need to make a choice to love the church. So it says, Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So Jesus loves the church and he has given himself up for her. And you know, it's easy, isn't it? I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I love God, but I don't love the church." And you know, you know, sometimes people have been hurt in church, you know, and I can see why people say that. All of us have opportunities for being offended. But you know what? If you don't love the church, you're actually not loving God. Because God loves the church. He loves the church. He's passionate about his bride. We are called the bride of Christ, and he loves the church. And he wants us to be beautiful and presented to him as radiant, without spot and without blemish. He loves the church. And if he loves the church, then we need to love the church. And who is the church? It's not just a building, is it? We're the church. So we need to love each other and love what God is doing amongst us. Number three. We need to cultivate an attitude of others first in order to be an encourager. Sometimes, you know, selfishness gets in the way, doesn't it? Let's just read Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." You know, even Christ, his attitude was one of serving and one of thinking of others. And we need to step into his way of doing things. We can take time to pray someone, send a card, text message, email to encourage somebody. But that all takes time. It takes a little sacrifice on our part, doesn't it, to do something like that, to be thinking of somebody else. And, it takes effort. We don't like to hear that, do we? Work? Work! But it does. To be an encourager, it takes time, because you've spent time praying for somebody, you spent time thinking about them, and you've bothered. You know, sometimes I'm just washing up or something like that, and somebody pops into my head, and I think, oh, I'll just pray for them, and I'll just a little prayer, send up a quick prayer, and then they pop into my head again. I think, do you know, if that happens more than once or twice, I think, God wants me to do something here. Maybe I should just send a little text message, or what's God saying? You know, just take those promptings from God. Take those promptings as if it is God. And don't just think, oh, well, I just thought about them. Actually do something. Do something and show somebody that you love them. Show somebody that you care for them. And there's lots of ways of doing it. We actually need to speak out. Sometimes we're thinking really great things about everybody. sometimes we don't actually just say those things, do we? But we need to, if we can't say them to somebody, we can always jot them down a little note. Oh, great job, you did such a great job sweeping up the other day. Or whatever it is. Sometimes we think that we are the type of people that see the cup half empty. We're not the sort of cup half full people. We're the cup half empty. And you know what? The Word of God says He wants you to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, Jesus. And Jesus was not half cup empty. He was half cup full, definitely. And sometimes we can say, oh, well, I'm just a negative person. But actually, it's never too late to change. My dad was about 60 when he changed. My dad was an amazing person, but his own dad was just a terrible man who always continually criticized him, and he could never do anything right, and constant stream of criticism and no affection. So my dad was brought up like that, and he found it very difficult to express anything of love or affection. And but when he got to about 60, he was in. He heard some really excellent teaching on the power of the tongue, and it completely changed him. He completely changed in the way that he spoke to me, and the way that he spoke to others in the church, and just completely different. And I just say, it's never too late to change, but you have to commit to change. You have to decide, okay, God wants me to change. Do you know what? Sorry, bear with. Yeah, there's power of life and death in tongue. So if this is something that you feel God saying to you, you could make a little study of that and see what God says about the words that we use to speak. See what God says. There's lots of good books as well that you can read. And I saw something the other day which I thought was great. It was a fast, but it was a complaining fast. I thought, great idea. Let's go on a complaining fast. Still eat your chocolate cake, but do you know how hard that is? Oh, it can be very hard. It's amazing what just pops out of your mouth all the time, especially if you have kids that are messy. Oh my goodness. Or if you can just end up complaining about anything. And you know what? You could actually choose to do a fast. Say, right, for a whole week, I'm not going to complain. Ooh, if that's too much for you. A whole day, or maybe a whole hour. Just see how you get on. So, the thing is, if we fill our minds with good stuff, what's going to come out? Good stuff. Philippians 4, verse 8. You know this one probably. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I love that verse. It's a powerful, powerful verse. I have it just by my washing, my, I do a lot of washing up, don't I? Just by my sink, so that when I'm washing it up, I can train my mind to think about whatever is praiseworthy, instead of like, grumbling and mumbling about different things. I look at that and I think, I've got to think about whatever is good. Because actually what we're thinking about, what we're putting into our minds, is going to come out of us. And if we're to be encouragers, and if we're to build the body up, which is what God wants us to do, then we need to have the good stuff coming in. We need to be thinking like him. As women, we tend to kind of talk things out when we have problems. Well, at least I do. And I like to talk about all the different things, and sometimes it's a bit negative, and sometimes it's a little bit, And you know what I felt God saying was, actually, we do need to talk things out. God's wired us that way, but we need to talk things out with him first. And that's where we should talk things out, so that we're not just sharing everything that is could be discouraging to our husbands or to the people around us. And that's a challenge, you know? Sometimes that's a challenge. But if we go to God first, then maybe he'll filter some of the things, and then we can share some things that are more upbuilding sometimes. All right, ladies? I'm wrapping up. You know what? Just God really wants us to be encouraged. He really does. He doesn't want us to be like that. In fact, I'm just going to blow this up. You know, that's a little bit of the word in there. That's some prayer. Ooh, just gone and given an encouraging word to somebody. Oh, that built you up as well. Awesome. And God wants us to be like that, and in with this group too, until we die. We go to be with heaven, to go to be with the Lord. Yeah. Oh. So, you know, in Revelation, it talks about to the church. It says to him who overcomes. It's a lot of it in those first few chapters where it writes to the six churches, to him who overcomes. And you know what, guys? You are overcomers. God has made you overcomers. He has. It's good to read that. It says in Revelation 13:10, it says, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. You know, there's some times that the church moves through, and I think this is a period in history, actually, that our church is moving through, where it calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints to remain strong, so that we can be strong and that our church can be strong, and that we leave a legacy for the young people coming up, that they will know their God and they will do mighty exploits, and that we can leave something strong for those that are following us. Right. I've got two more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. No, it's not that. All right, I'll just read it. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. And I know there's some people here that need to hear that the labor of love in the Lord is not in vain. There's a reason, there's a purpose that you're here in this church, and your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in him. Strengthen yourself in God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Don't worry, Peter, I'll just read it. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Actually, could we have that? Would you mind putting that up? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. I really wanted us just to read this together. And, okay. Can I ask you to stand up? It would be quite good, actually, if you say this to somebody. So somebody that you're standing next to, just grab a hold of them, and you're going to encourage them this morning with scripture, okay? And we're going to say it all together, all right? So it's not too embarrassing, all right? Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Amen. Okay, you can just, you can stay standing. I just thought, you know what? If there are people that feeling discouraged for whatever reason here, that I think we just need to gather around you guys and pray for you this morning, if you would allow that. And, you know, there's no shame in being discouraged. Sometimes we just go through times that are hard. It's just what life throws at us, and we need each other, don't we, to be strong. So that would be really good. If you feel discouraged, could you just put your hand up? Okay. Just look around you, see a few people. Could you keep your hands up? And just, can we just gather around these people, please? Okay, just gather around. Is there anybody else that just needs to feel they're a bit weak and they need to be stronger in God and they need to take hold of the word like I've been talking about, and they need to if you just need to respond to God, you can put your hand up as well. I'm just going to pray and then guys around you are just going to lift you up in prayer, okay? Yeah, Father God, welcome you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word that says when we are weak, you are strong. And I want to pray, Father, that you would lift them up, Lord God, and strengthen them, Lord. Father, bring comfort to them. Bring peace to them, Lord. We pray that, Father, you build them up, Lord. You are a master builder, Lord. You're amazing, God, and you fill us, Lord, like nobody else can, Lord. And I pray, Father, that each person here, Lord, would receive a touch from you this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you want us to be full of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to be filled with you, Lord. And you give us the power, Father, to overcome. Thank you, Jesus.